Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Yeah, buddy, it's brought to you by our buddies at Brightbox. Brightboxelectrical.com, 770-901-2500. We'll tell you what's happening with the dogs and their latest practice and who's looking good. Remember, Kirby was talking a lot about the offensive line. And maybe some of the names you expected not living up to his expectations. That's on the way. But yesterday, guys, if you missed it, we started the show off in the 2 o'clock hour talking to Dabo Swinney, one of our favorite coaches. And first thing I said to him is, hey, how about a Dukes and Bell exclusive? Who's going to be your starting quarterback?
Well, we got Kelly Bryant, we got Trevor Lawrence, and we got Chase Bryce. And I think at some point this season, you'll see all three of those guys. And I think they'll all play well when they get their opportunity to play.
Coach, what did you learn from the first scrimmage, the one you had just a few days ago, and then as you just spoke recently here, what have you learned about your team?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, you know, we got a lot of guys. This is the most veteran team I've had. And, you know, we got a lot of guys that came back, and it's been fun to see them because they really have had an incredible focus. Just the daily focus as far as how they've approached practice every day. Those guys have grinded as like a freshman out there, and I love seeing that. I think our leadership has been really good. But probably, you know, again, I know a lot already about this team just because we have so many guys back at every position that has good experience. We're not really starting over anywhere. But the biggest thing that I learned is this class that we signed. Man, we really hit on that on those guys. I mean, just a lot of young talent coming in here that has demonstrated that they can play.
Coach, on the recruiting trails, we talk with a national champion, only four of those guys right now that are active. It's Dabo Swinney from Clemson with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Have you actually been in the same driveway as, like, Kirby or somebody else on the recruiting trail recently?
I bump into a lot of guys on the road. You know, we go out on the road Most of the time it's December and January. Those 2 months we're pretty much on the road all the time. That's the contact period. And so, yeah, you'll bump into some guys. I actually was in recruiting a kid last year, and I came out of the house, and the entire LSU staff was standing there in the circle. That was kind of crazy. So we had a little coaches convention in the cul-de-sac for a minute there, and then, all right, boys, y'all head on in. And guess what? Neither one of us got it. At least we had some good fellowship.
That's a great story. Dabo Swinney joining us here on Dukes and Bell. And obviously, coaches in Atlanta, this is a hotbed for recruiting and in Georgia. So, guys, you guys know Gainesville's own Deshaun Watson came out of there and went to Clemson and had a great career. And, Coach, I want to ask you about Deshaun here in a little bit, but I also want to get your opinion on something that's going on in college football. And just get your opinion of the state of what's going on. We've got a situation at Ohio State. Don't know what the outcome is going to be with Urban Meyer. Also, Maryland losing a young man and a situation where they say, you know, the culture was difficult and old school. Well, what do you make of these stories as they affect college football?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, be honest with you, if you go back 20 years, there was probably something then that was disappointing 20 years ago. And if you go forward 20 years from now, there's probably going to be something disappointing then. I think anytime you have people involved, there's always going to be poor decisions, mistakes, disappointment, whatever it may be. And so I think, you know, it's easy to paint with a broad brush in today's society because we live in a hyper technological world where, I mean, everything is instantaneous from an information standpoint. And I think that's a positive. I don't think that's a negative. But the one bad part of it is social media is great, because it really, exposes bad stuff. but it's bad too in that it paints with a broad brush, and I think people are so quick to all of a sudden assume that it's bad everywhere, and that's not the case. There's so much good in college football. There's so much good, but that doesn't mean that there's not bad. That doesn't mean there's not disappointment. People that, do the wrong things. I don't really care what profession. In your profession, there's good and there's bad.
Right.
If you line up a bunch of churches, there's good and there's bad. And Lord knows, we know if you deal with politics, there's good and there's bad. And in the business world, there's good and there's bad. But this is a very public profession, and so. I think that, again, we live in a world today where the bad gets exposed pretty quickly. But there's so much good out there. And so you hate to see situations and some of the things that are going on out there. That's the world we live in. That's life. And, I mean, there's always going to be disappointments and mistakes again, but I just think there's a lot of good going on in college football. There's a lot of young people that are getting an incredible opportunity to change their life, to empower themselves for the rest of their life, to have an unbelievable experience. There's a lot of great coaches out there that love the players, and that's what I try to focus on. I think you learn from every situation, good and bad, but I just try to stay focused on what we're trying to do here at Clemson, and hopefully, through year in and year out, the experiences that our players leave here with, hopefully we can make the world a little bit better place, hopefully by how we do things. And there's nobody perfect, but hopefully we can impact these guys' lives and have a great culture, and they take that with them and take that into their communities and into their next jobs or locker rooms and marriages, et cetera, and hopefully bring about some positive change and can look back on their time here and be very fond of it.
It's Dabo Swinney, guys. You recognize the voice, national champion, head coach of Clemson. The Final Four, it's like a birth right now for the Tigers up in Death Valley. And, Coach, hearing you speak, and we talked to, Vic Beasley and Grady Jarrett, guys talk about you the way guys, Florida State players, talked about Coach Bowden. And that's got to make you feel proud.
Well, I appreciate that. Coach Bowden, I've always had an incredible amount of respect for him, and I think he loved his players. And I don't try to emulate anybody. I just try to be who I am. But I do love my players. I always have. And I'm tough on them. But I love them. And I've always prided myself on having great relationships long after our guys are gone from here. And those are a couple guys that stay in touch with and really proud of the men that they've become. And just loved my time. And that's one of the things that I really try to focus on too is, especially now I'm going on my 10th year as the head coach, and it's my 16th year at Clemson. So I've been here a while, and I have so many relationships with so many guys that I've been able to coach and meet through my incredible going on 16-year journey here at Clemson. And to me, that's the best part of what I get to do is just be able to just have these lifelong friendships and relationships and to see transformation in their lives, to really see them, figure it out and through their success, through their struggles. It just makes me smile to see the transformation, to see a guy like Vic Beasley, man, oh, man. If y'all only knew where he was as a freshman and a redshirt freshman and a redshirt sophomore, and to see him now, it's so awesome. And to see, some of my guys that didn't even play pro football, but they're out, they're doing wonderful things in the community and their marriages and as businessmen or whatever it is they're doing. A lot of them are coaches, et cetera. It's just fun to see them, down the road and for them to come hug your neck. That's really, to me, I think, the measure of a coach. It's not the scoreboard or any of that stuff. It's really when you meet the 30-year-old version of that player, does he turn and go the other way, or does he come and high-five you and hug your neck and thank you for the opportunity? When they're a little more mature, they understand things, the bigger picture of life. To me, that's why I coach. And I'm a long way from perfect and try to get better every year. But hopefully we've done a good job of that over the last 15 years here.
Dabo, I want to ask you just briefly, if you could, sum up. Because here's the deal. You just said it. You've been there a long time. It's Dabo Swinney, guys, on Dukes and Bell. We'll talk about the schedule and ask him about the scheduling. We just found out that Clemson adds LSU here in a minute. How did you do it? When you got there, Clemson was not this. How'd you do it?
Well, that's so funny. That's a short question, but a very deep and intense answer. I mean, the biggest thing is, first of all, just being who I am. I think that's the number one thing. I've always, you know, I made a decision early on that I had a vision for what I wanted to do and how to do it and what I wanted the program to look like, what the why of our program was going to be, you know, why we were going to practice a certain way, why we were going to have the academic standards the way we were going to have them, why we were going to have discipline the way we were going to have it. You know, I made a decision on that a long time ago, the type of people we were going to recruit, the criteria we were going to use, and we haven't varied from that. Mm. And so I think, number one, it starts with that. You have to have a vision for what you want to do, and you got to be able to articulate that, and you got to be able to create the buy-in, you know, and I think that's number one. And then number two, you've got to get good people. So for me, it's recruiting the right people. My very first class, I only signed 12 guys. Mm. I signed 12 guys. That's it. And so, you know, we've been very disciplined on how we've recruited, especially over the last 3 or 4 years as we've really established our culture, you know, as the head coach. And then, you know, also when you take over a job, you got to understand none of those people came there for you to be their head coach. So you've got to be able to create that buy-in with them, and you've got to make the best of what you have. And I think, you know, sometimes a lot of people lose sight of that. And I've always taken an inside-out approach. I think too many people focus on the outside in, and they get distracted by a result or the outcome or what the outside noise is, and so they start making decisions based on the short term as opposed to the long term. And I've always been focused on trying to just build a great program, not a good team, and have been relentless about that. But I hire people first, coaches second. I recruit people first, players second. You know, and that's just been an approach that I've stuck with. And again, I've just tried to be myself. I've tried to be relentless about getting better, learning and growing, and man, just being – have this insatiable desire to improve.
You've done it.
And I start over every year. That's the other thing. We start over every single year as if nobody knows anything. Like we all were just, boom, dropped into Clemson from Mars, and nobody knows anything. I start over every year because it's so important that everybody understands, you know, how we got here and what we do, how we do it. But more importantly, why we do it this way, and so everybody's on the same page, and so we've been able to have good continuity on our staff. And when we've had change on our staff, I've had a fair amount of change. Guys have gone on to be head coaches or whatever, or coordinators. You know, we've been able to, you know, hire good people to fill those voids.
All right, just about a minute left with Coach Dabo Swinney from Clemson. Always a great time catching up with Coach. 101-30 for his career.
I know.
Coach, we talked about the quarterback battle. You want to see maybe it's a little bit of everybody out there. You got a great secondary. What's the one concern? Do you have a concern for this squad going into 18?
I wouldn't say I have a concern other than, you know, just maintaining the relentless daily focus that it takes to be great and to just really – put the blinders on, man, and just run our race. You know, don't get distracted by anything, nothing. Just be relentless about our preparation every day, week in and week out, and truly, you know, we know we're good enough. You know, these guys know that. These senior guys have won 40 games in 3 years. They've been in 3 playoffs, 3 straight conference championships. They get it. They know that they're talented. But they also know what it takes. And so just having that relentless, focused intensity that it takes to be great and to become the best version of you, that's all we're after. And so, you know, don't make anything about anybody else. It's just make it all about Clemson. And let's focus on the standard that we've set don't lose to Clemson. You know, let's take care of the things that we control. And if we do that, and we do it with great effort and passion each week, you know, eye of the tiger, we can live with whatever result we get.
Coach, I have to ask, you talk to Deshaun?
Oh, yeah.
How often?
Yeah.
How often?
We text quite a bit, and text him not too long ago, just as he was getting going into camp, and he's fired up and excited. And so just try to stay in touch with all those guys. And I talked to him the day that he tore his knee, and then have kept up with him, you know, all throughout the years he's gone through his rehab. And I did not get a chance to see him this summer. He wasn't able to get down, but he's been grinding, you know, to get back and be 100% healthy. And he feels great. He's excited about where he is, and I can't wait to see him back out on the field, you know, doing what he loves to do.
Dabo, you're one of our favorites, man. I really do appreciate the way you handle your business. You put it out there, and you take young men and you turn them into productive citizens in society. We appreciate you jumping on with us here on Dukes and Bell.
Yes, sir. Good to be with you. Have a great day.
Good dude, man. As we said, I know if you're not even a Clemson fan, it was funny. Yesterday we had one guy was a Georgia fan, said, you know, I'd send my kid to play for Dabo. Another guy was a Tide fan, said the same thing. He's a likable guy, man. I think there is an analogy with Bobby Bowden because he's kind of a CEO, and people love playing for the guy.
You know, there have been thoughts about when and if Nick Saban calls it quits, and it won't be anytime soon, guys, but Dabo will be a guy who will be a candidate, where he's at in his age and what he's accomplished. But I got to tell you guys, he's built that there. Mm-hmm. It's going to be tough to leave as long as they continue to have success, and I don't see why they wouldn't, Mike. Plus, right. You want to be somewhere where you can contend for titles and be a national power. He can do that at Clemson. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I know it's Alabama, and I get it, but I just think that all the times that we think as fans, oh, that's the perfect job, he's the perfect guy. When you build something like this and now it's sustainable, it's hard to leave.
Hey, before we give away the cash real quick, the Dog Report with a little Clemson flavor today, brought to you by our buddies at Brightbox Electrical, 770-901-2500. Get that man cave, whoever your team is, in time for football season. Yesterday, Chip Towers said the wide receivers, the star wide receivers, weren't playing like stars in the mind of certainly Kirby Smart and some of the coaches. Curious how that gets turned around. And the offensive line, according to our buddy Roddy Nabalzi, I saw Jeff Sentell tweeted it out as well, that apparently a bit more consistent play from some of the guys you'd expect to be the leaders on that old line yesterday.
A lot to learn here over the next couple of weeks before the first game for the Dogs. Let's give you a chance to win some money right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
the right word, Abe?
All right, you sure we got this right there,
Ace? Just want to make sure. Okay. Make sure. You positive? I'm about to run with this. Okay.
The 4 o'clock word is...
product.
You know, it's funny, in drug movies, they never call drugs drugs. Always moving the product.
All right, guys, text it to 72881.
Good job, Ace. 72881. Text product. We're going to move some product tonight, okay? We get the product as far as Panama, okay? Product. Product goes to 72881. That's the word for the 4 o'clock hour.
All right, guys, coming up, Falcon Report. We're moving some things around normally at 5. We're off at 5. So coming up next.
What?
Yeah, 5. We will tell you what to look for tonight as the Falcons take on the Chiefs. 5 o'clock, son!
Yeah!
Dukes and Bell are done at 5.
Huh?
Yeah, so that means we are doing the Falcon Report right now, guys. And Mike just told me Falcons just rolled down to Mercedes-Benz about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, near Orlando Lidbetter, actually right about 4 o'clock. The buses were rolling down from Flowery Branch with the police escort, so the Falcons are at Mercedes-Benz getting ready. I know it's preseason. It's funny because Carl's laughing. We're watching. We have all the TVs here in the studio, and I'm watching a replay of the Eagles and the Patriots. Earlier, we were watching the Steelers and the Green Bay. And I'm like, damn, everybody else is scoring points in preseason. Going right down the field. First team, right down the field. Second team, right down the field. I want to see some, in the immortal words of my late Uncle Nick, I want to see some action tonight.
No doubt. And, you know, when you talk about how we played against the Jets, I said it. It's preseason, but I was disappointed with the effort. I think we could have gave a better effort. But more importantly, we got to clean up the penalties. The big question, I think, well, at least one of them, is Julio going to play? Now, Julio was in his car earlier. I retweeted it out. We played it for you guys. Where he's banging some music in the car and just hanging out, basically saying, hey, come down, support us. We're going to need our fan support. But is he going to play tonight? Mm-hmm. And we don't know whether or not if he is or is not. Now, he was asked this question. Julio, do you want to play on Friday?
Like I said, I just get my work in every day. I mean, if I'm there, I'm there. If I'm not, I'm not. But every day I come to work because I can't get today back. So that's how I attack every day.
Okay.
I can't get today back.
Cannot, Mike Bell. You can't get it back. So don't know if you're going to the game tonight and you're going, well, is Julio going to play? We don't know. The other guy
now,
is,
Dan Quinn did say if you were going to see Devontae and Julio, you'd best be in your seats early. You know,
yeah,
there's no guarantee they're going to play, but where they're going to play, it's going to be one series.
Yeah, no doubt. The other guy is Matt Bryant, kicker Matt Bryant. Don't know if Matt's going to play or not. He could be a game-time decision. He'll warm up and do all those things. But, again, that undisclosed injury for Matt Bryant, rest, is something that the Falcons have been doing for the last couple of weeks. So we'll see. As far as the guys that are going to play, and this is our Falcon Report, guys, as always, brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Yeah, man, a large three-topping pizza, guys. Whether you're going to make it a pizza party tonight and hunker down and watch some football or some baseball, go to Domino's.com and get the details. Large three-topping pizza, $7.99. Carry out only, good every night of the week.
The right guard position and the fullback position. Those are two positions that need to be determined between now and the end of preseason. We know Brandon Fusco was brought in, but Wes Schweitzer is also battling, guys. And so he started the first game, the first preseason game against the Jets. We'll see who starts tonight. I don't know if it's going to be Fusco, and I don't know if it means anything. Maybe they get equal snaps, Mike. And then the fullback spot again, Ricky Ortiz, who had a pretty good game against the Jets, and he's battling a rookie, Luke McNitt. And those two guys are ultimately, one of those guys is going to end up being our fullback. But those are two positions that you can watch and see maybe and get a feel for who you feel like might be winning that battle.
Yeah, missed DeMarco. A lot of guys, you know, kind of busted our chops back in the summer. So you're going to miss DeMarco. And he wasn't obviously out there for a lot of plays. But when we needed to dial up the fullback, he wasn't. And we had to go with Don Terry Poe and some of those, like, jumbo packages, for lack of a better word. And then we actually used that the fullback we had in that goal line situation against the Eagles as a decoy. Don't get me started.
Dude hadn't caught a pass all year.
But as far as moving forward, you know, you got so many weapons. Do you really want the fullback? Here's a question I have for you. We want to see the two running backs in the backfield at the same time to create mismatches.
Yeah.
I know down and distance will dictate using the fullback, but it's like, it's almost like I'd rather see all my big studs out there and not gobble up a spot on the 11 for a fullback.
Well, it's something that you have to think about. You know, we talk about roster spots, and you only get 53-man roster, right? So when you talk about being active any given Sunday, Mike, you know, you start thinking about this, but I think a fullback is part of this offense and how it's run. And when ran correctly, we know that it can be a critical part. So, you know, last year wasn't great for that position, but hopefully we find a guy that can get that done. So those are two positions to look at. Real quick, DeMonte KZ had 11 tackles last week. I know everybody's high on KZ, and rightfully so. Hopefully he comes back and has another good performance.
You know, Dan Quinn was talking about him last week, and I know Dave Archer was on with us, and Archer had mentioned watch him in the dime package, and he's a guy because he initially played as a corner at San Diego State. He's got the cover ability, but now he's they like his athleticism to be used as a safety, so they're going to try to get him out there when they can. So see what he can do tonight, and then bringing it back to the offense. Carl, you and I have talked a lot about Fusco and Schweitzer. Schweitzer got that first couple of reps. I mean, again, it was just one series, and it was awful for the Falcons. Can we get some real push, especially, and this goes back to maybe that's when you need the fullback, the short yardage situations, because hasn't the short yardage just been our nemesis? Think about it. I mean, even going back to the Smitty days, when we need a yard, especially now in the zone blocking scheme, we just don't seem to be able to get it.
Yeah, and if you're going, okay, so what do you guys expect to see? This is what I expect to see. I expect to see the first drive of the game to be a successful one, meaning we put points on the board. That's what I want to see. Now, last game, we didn't get an opportunity to see that because it was basically three and out with the penalties, and then, you know, we didn't see those guys again. Tonight, we do know Andy Reid has said he will play his starters for an entire first half. So I don't know if that dictates what Dan Quinn's going to do or if they stick to the plan that they have. I do want you to hear Coach Quinn talking about the penalties, though, Mike, because that was another part of the first game that's got to get cleaned up. A little ridiculous with all the penalties that set us back last week.
We've got to clean this part of the game. We had the blocks in the back. You know, we talked about those. We had the illegal procedure calls, and we talked about those. And if we said if we eliminate that false start or eliminate that play, you know, now it's in manageable down and distances. So we tried to make a big push on that.
Now, the other part of the offense, and I'll let you hear Steve Sarkisian coming up here in just a minute. As we talk Falcons, guys, it's Falcons Chiefs tonight. It's the second preseason game, and you'll listen starting at 5 here with the pregame show, 7 o'clock kick. The kick return. Calvin Ridley may get a shot to be a kick returner,
you know,
for us.
Great athletes can play everywhere on the field, and we know he's got the speed. And, you know, we've talked about, can Justin Hardy get that chance to do it? Because he's got a lot of – we got the speed element. There's, you could also use – technically, Robert Alford's fast as hell, you know, but some teams don't want to use your position player in that sense. Do you have any worries about using a guy like Ridley? Because he is your third receiver behind Sanu, technically. I'd like to get him out, get my playmakers on the field all the opportunities you can. You know, George used to do that with Isaiah McKenzie because they valued what they thought was his playmaking ability. Why not Calvin Ridley?
Yeah, I don't. If you think about it the way the Falcons do, you know, Julio's your number one. Sanu is your two. You're right. Technically, you're talking about Ridley. You know, I'm not saying that he won't play well or catch touchdowns. I'm just saying from a standpoint of the roster, Mike, you want him on the field. This is another way to get him on the field. Right. So I don't know if that's going to happen right now. It's been Justin Hardy and Marvin Hall. Those guys have been returning kicks. We'll see where that goes. But, again, that's something else to watch. As far as the offense goes, Steve Sarkisian, our OC, says, you know, just being efficient. That's the key.
You know, we all have a responsibility to do our job and to play efficient football, and that's the goal for Friday night.
Okay. Thanks, Coach, for the short soundbite. Appreciate that. That's Steve Sarkisian, the offensive coordinator, short and to the point.
Right.
Making fun, guys. He's right, though. What I mean, we got to do our jobs. So tonight, that's kind of what I'm looking for. I want a better effort. I'd like to see the offense do a lot more. And then again, the second and third teams, let's do something. Show me a little something. I mean, across the board. Right. I just felt like last week we didn't do jack. And so,
well, I mean,
you know, from that standpoint, Mike, again, I'm not worried about the scoreboard. I don't care if they score 45 points. I'm more worried about having success, as you always talk about, the one-on-ones.
Right. And by the way, I mean, this is all it is. And once the starters get out, as we said last week, it's the coaches evaluating, as Sark pointed out. You know, we had that soundbite earlier in the week, too. Just looking for the individual matchups. You're trying to grade a guy. You're trying to see how he matches up in a certain situation. So that's part of it. But you got to admit, I mean, like I said, I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek, but I'm also a Falcon fan. So I'm like, I want what other teams are doing, Carl. There's a lot of flow on the offense for some other teams so far, you know. And the reason, in all seriousness, the Vikings are scoring points in bunches. Now, preseason doesn't mean jack, but 45 points is 45 points in two games, man.
It is a lot.
That's 40 in each.
Yeah, I don't care who you are. So, guys, we'll see how this thing plays out tonight. Should be a good test for our Falcons. And, again, coverage starting at 5 o'clock. Once again, Falcon Report moved a little bit earlier today, usually at 5 o'clock today because we're out at 5. But it's usually brought to you and is always brought to you by Domino's.
Domino's, man, large street topping pizza, $7.99. Carry out only good every night of the week. Hey, man, before we get to what I got for the game winner, there's a story. And, again, unfortunately, guys, we don't have 5 hours to give you all the stuff we normally try to squeeze into Dukes and Bell. But there's a story that's been out now about a day, and we haven't had a chance to touch on it. You see what's going on at Grayson High School?
No.
Boycott of the football team, the players not liking the way the coach is handling his business, saying the practices are too physical. They basically boycotted Wednesday. They walked out of practice, led to a meeting. This is Coach Christian Honeycutt and the players. Honeycutt apologized for the rough practice conditions and promised lighter practices moving forward. Unthinkable when we were kids. Grayson is the number one school in Class 7A. That's where Robert Kimdichie came out of years ago.
That's right.
But how about that? Players concerned for their health heading into the season. None were injured, but apparently he's going there, going full contact in shorts. And apparently some of the parents didn't like it either. Finished 10-2 last year. What do you think about that?
Well,
it's a new world we're living in, isn't it?
This is hard for me because that's not how I grew up. And it's certainly not how I practice. And for those who don't know, you know, I went to high school in Texas. And I went to a big high school that was a big football factory in itself. I can't speak to that, Mike. I you know, the kids, for us to say that the coach would be working us too hard or we were concerned for our health, I can't even fathom that. But we live in a different age,
right,
and I get it. If parents were concerned and the kids were coming home and saying, yo, well, this is what's going on, you got to address it.
Apparently not all of the players, but enough where this thing became a thing at Grayson. By the way, guys, you don't know this. Fun fact about Carl. He's the guy that took out Booby Miles' leg. Hey, man, game winner. Today we do something that I say. Carl thinks it's a bad practice to mention in the office in front of our supervisors. We're stealing money. We're working a three-hour show. Give me a profession, guy or girl, who is stealing money. He's got the easiest job. 404-741-0929. It's an early edition of our game winner. Who's got an easy gig?
Hey.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question.
All right, we pulled a three-hour shift today. Normally, it's a five-hour gig for Carl and I. So, yeah, we're stealing money. Somebody, a profession, you think, the guy is a, you know, let's be honest, he's got it pretty easy. So, I mean, obviously, firemen, cops, military, not so much. Professional politician, yes, you're stealing money.
Well, it depends.
Oh, they're all stealing money.
It depends. 404-741-0929. Falcons coming up here at 5 o'clock. All right, we got a bank full of calls, man.
All right, first things I meant to mention, we didn't have it in the Falcon report because it just broke at 4:30. Deebo, Deion Jones, not going to play tonight. So no Deebo, and as you mentioned, no Matt Bryant.
Matt Bryant.
Melissa, his wife's listening. Give him a deep tissue massage. Get him right, man.
Just needs a little rest.
Right. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for a person stealing money?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I've done this job before. working the front desk at a library.
Money. You did. When did you do? Money. When did you do that? You, when were you doing that?
That was one of my first jobs when I was 15. So they just basically just told me, look, you sit in this chair. When they bring a book, you stamp it in. And when they take another book, you stamp it out.
Oh, wow. You know what? Right. You're right. And I was going to say, now with computers, does that job even exist?
Yeah, do kids even read books? Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for an easy job, man?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, how about being a professional paper towel sniffer at $50,000 a year? That's an actual job.
A paper towel sniffer?
Yes, really.
This is a job?
I didn't even know that was a job.
Craig, are you familiar with this?
That's a job?
Is this a gig at Georgia Pacific?
My counselor never told me about that one.
Did he say 50 grand a year? Is that what
yes.
he said?
That's wow. Really paper towel sniffer. Right. Hey, man, you're on the radio.
I might have to look into that.
If that's code for something, it's over my head. Hey, man, you're on the radio, amigo. What do you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, look, Lee Corso from College Game Day be stealing money. He yeah. said like five words, put the mascot head on at the end of the show. And that's it. He's done.
I know. We were talking about this off the air. His son, Dan, a great guy here in Atlanta with the Sports Council. But Lee is getting up there. So basically, he's become the gimmick now.
Well, remember, we were defending Conte yesterday after I goaded him. Yeah. Say it! I mean, say it, Conte!
I know. Because, you know, Lee had some health issues, and, you know, he's getting up there. But now it's just get Lee out there, put the mascot on, and he goes home.
Well, Conte wasn't clowning Corso, but he was saying the show itself with some of the bits are stale. Yeah.
Hey, man, not Pollock, though, if you're listening, Dave. Love you, man. You're on the radio, buddy boy. What do you got for us? Somebody stealing money.
Hey, man.
Hey, hey man.
Oh, you still say that even if it's a woman?
Hey, lady.
How you doing?
I'm curious about that. I think by far, like, you guys have to... You guys are stealing money.
Oh, you're stealing money. Unfortunately, your phone, we love always getting ladies on, but the phone was no good. What am I supposed to say?
Did she say we were?
Well, I think we are.
I don't think we are, Mike.
What am I supposed to say to a woman like Mr. T? Hey, woman!
You know, I will tell you this. The jobs you think are easy. I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. People think comedians are stealing money. Oh. Go do a 10-minute set on stage.
Have you seen that?
And get people to laugh. Right. Good luck.
And get them on your side within the first 30
seconds.
Stuff
like that where you go, they're stealing money. It's magic.
It's a movement. Have you seen the Gary Shandling documentary yet?
Yeah,
on
you
HBO?
Told me about it. I should finally check it out.
It's basically a labor of love for Judd Apatow, you know, obviously director who's going on to fame and fortune. But he was taken under Gary's wing as a young guy, and it's all about I love the old Larry Sanders show, but it's heartbreaking because talk about a soul that was like a troubled artiste. Hey man, you're on the radio, bro. What you got for a guy stealing money?
A lot of those guys in the NBA whose names nobody can pronounce. They got all of those dots under their letters and stuff. These cats are making $5 million a year, scoring 2 points a game, John Contact.
Mm, he's right.
I'm telling you, if you got umlauts, I'm with you, bro, and Hano Matala. I mean, how about being like the 10th or 11th guy on an NBA bench? You're still making more money than any of us will ever see in our lifetime.
It's not even close. Hey, real quick, for the lovely lady that called, you know what, Mike? When ladies call in, we'll get their name and we'll say, hey, and use your name. Right. How's that?
Because if I say, hey, lady, you sound like Jerry Lewis.
All right, so thank you for calling.
Thank you, ma'am. It's got to get a better phone. You're on the radio, Joe. What do you got for us?
The televangelist. If I ever meet Creflo Dollar, I'm going to light him up.
All right, easy now, Jeremiah. People like the man's work.
I have no comment.
Jeremiah's got a problem with televangelist. Now, if you said Jimmy Swagger, we'd all be on the same page.
I have no comment.
I've sinned against you. Creflo does look good in that 8-button jacket. Hey, man, you're on the radio, amigo. What do you got for a guy stealing money?
I know this is low-hanging fruit, but Nat Schaub.
Well, backup quarterback is one of the easier jobs in the world.
But you know what? He's right, though. I mean, if you're a veteran backup, you get paid well.
Right.
You got a superstar or an MVP in front of you.
You still got to do sit-ups, Carl. You got to work your core. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. What's an easy job?
But he's one play away.
Yes.
Where that man, that jerk Mike Greenberg and Speedy Claxton. Yeah, come on.
Speedy Claxton. I'm not a big fan of Greeny either. I'm with you there.
He said
brother.
Mike Greenberg?
Yeah.
All right. I'm with you. Get up.
If you only knew the stories we know about that guy. Hey, man.
Or turn off.
You're on the air, brother. What do you got for a guy making it easy out there?
Hey, man. Hey, man. Those guys over there at 929 The Game on the radio, man. Sounds like they're making good money, man. These guys are taking trips. I'm going for 7 days, 11 days at a time, you know, getting married in the south of France and all this stuff. You're the guys who's getting all the money.
I don't know who you're talking about, man. I barely get 3 days at this place.
By the way, here's a great idea. Don't have kids. You can do anything you want, whatever you want.
Well, that's true, too. And by the way, congratulations to Andy Bunker. Bunk is getting married this weekend.
Right.
You guys listen to Bunk after our show from 7 to 11, the Bunker
Mentality. We love Andy. We're really happy for him. He's getting it done up in the mountains, right, on Saturday.
And up near Asheville. So congratulations to Andy. Now, if you're talking about Rick Kamlin, his vacation time, you're right, sir.
By the way, Rick, he's in an international jet ski competition in Honduras. Please, know your facts.
Yeah, it's true.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for a guy stealing money? Or gal, what'd you say?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, a paint salesman. Hey, guys, also, when the ladies call, is hey, ma'am.
Hey, there you go. Okay, Carl's lukewarm on that one.
Yeah, because you know what?
I like the Mr. T answer. Hey, woman.
I grew up saying ma'am, yes, sir, yes, ma'am.
Right.
I'd rather say their name.
Because you're a nice man from Texas.
Yeah, but you know what? When you say that, it's an older connotation, too. There could be a young woman on the line, and I don't want to say that.
Hello, madam. It's Dukes and Bell. We'll get the heck out of Dodge here, Carl. Rather roll.
All right, man. We'll clear our throats and make way for the pregame show with Mike Conte and company next on Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.